Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, July 30th, 2018. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you?
I am very good. It's good to be here.
It's good to have
Monday.
You here. Yep. Welcome to a whole new week in the middle of the year. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Awesome.
Just hanging out here and with you guys, which is great.
It is pretty
it's
cool.
Good to have you.
Yeah.
If I'd known you were going to be here, I would have been here earlier.
Well, had I given you the memo, you would have known.
Yes, of course. It's all your fault. Excellent. I like this.
But, Brian, the reason I didn't is because I didn't want you to feel intimidated knowing that Adam's going to be on the show.
That is kind of you. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, I have your best interests at heart. Anyhow, Brian, I want to dive in deeper into something that you brought up on Apple Context Machine last week, and it's the idea of whole home listening.
Yeah,
sing it. It'll come out.
I like this idea. I really like this idea. You know, companies talk about whole home audio, you know, the ability to listen to music throughout your house, which is great and that's fine and everything. But I am personally more interested in whole home listening.
So explain this concept to me.
Well, the idea is it's like part of this actually stemmed from something I was thinking about in relation to John Martellaro, who is not here to defend himself, but you know he's always taken the public opinion that talking to your device, having to, you know, lift your Apple Watch to your mouth or get your iPhone out of your pocket, that was just fine. And this is, you know, as compared to Amazon giving us cheap dots to listen to us everywhere.
The Echo Dot,
right. And I finally had the analogy that I was like all excited about springing on him, which was like, you know how Picard would walk up to Jean-Luc Picard, the captain of the Enterprise in the Star Trek Next Generation series, mm-hmm. and how he would walk up to the replicator and, you know, tap his chest to activate his communicator and then give the replicator instructions.
It was better than that. He didn't even have to tap his.
Exactly. That's the point. That's the point.
Did I straight man into that well for you?
Kind of. I kind of feel like you stomped all over my punchline, but
I'm sorry.
But the, or, you know, in Standing on the Bridge where, you know, when Jean-Luc Picard would tap his chest to activate his communicator to talk to the computer. Again, that's actually not how it worked. He would talk to the air and the computer would hear him because the computer was always listening. Mm-hmm. It was like whole ship listening. And I thought that would actually be the way to get Mr. Martellaro, who's a huge Star Trek fan, on board with this idea of how talking to the air is better than talking to your device. And then thinking about that, we're on TDO and we're talking loosely about these ideas. And it's like,
it was actually ACM.
ACM. Thank you. That's the other one we do.
That's the other one. I'll have a link in the show notes.
And it occurred to me that there should be a name for this and we should be talking about it, whole home listening. So, you know, so I can walk anywhere in my house and Siri is going to hear me. And that, I believe, is predicated in part our needs to have some kind of inexpensive dot-like competitor. It doesn't have to be as cheap as the dot. Doesn't have to be as I'm not wanting Apple to make a dot, but they need to make a less expensive version of the HomePod or just a microphone that we can put in our house and have whole home listening.
Yeah. Now, along with the whole home listening, and I am so on board with this. I love this idea. I think Apple needs to make it more than just a microphone, because if I'm in, say, the living room and I say something and it's just a microphone in there, I want to have audio feedback where it doesn't sound like it's coming from some distant room in the house. You're like from the
for sure. That's true. Yeah. I in my head, I mean, I guess really I do want Apple to make a something like the Dot. It's just not as low quality as the Dot. It doesn't need to be as cheap as the Dot. It just needs to be cheaper than the HomePod.
I've about achieved this with my HomePod, and I'm not sure I like it all that much. So I've run into the situation recently where I have a HomePod. It sits in my office. I don't have a super large house, but it's not super small. And I guess the HomePod is being in my office that the office happens to be sort of centrally located between the two ends of the house. The house is about 1600 square feet. And I've had a few situations where I'm trying to actually do the thing where I want to tap my comm badge, in this case, my iPhone 10, and actually activate a command or issue a Siri command on my iPhone. And the screen flips on and then immediately flips off. And then from two rooms away, sometimes behind a closed door, I hear the HomePod actually trying to handle the request, or actually handling the request. And I know there's supposed to be this hierarchy that Apple goes through, but for whatever reason, I can't always figure out that magic incantation. So I'm totally with you. I think this is an amazing thing, and I think Apple's close to achieving it with the HomePod. You know, I think that if I put a couple HomePods in my house, even maybe just a second one, I essentially would have whole home audio. The problem is that the HomePod can't do everything that my iPhones can do. And secondarily, I think there is this challenge to go back to your Captain Kirk scenario. There is the challenge of what happens when you have multiple people and multiple voices and multiple devices. There needs to be enough intelligence that it knows how to handle that. And I think that's where the biggest challenge is. I think the microphone having a device thing is pretty close to being solved. I think the bigger issue is going to be the day-to-day usage of that and making that experience seamless. And I think that's super, super hard.
Yes, it probably is super hard. I agree with you that we need, like, you know, I want, so a couple of things to acknowledge. I'm currently living by myself. So the idea of being able to tell voices apart isn't a part of my normal everyday concern, but that is a real issue for sure. Siri needs to be able to tell the difference between who is authorized to talk to her and who is not authorized to talk to her, and to get information out of her.
And even from an information standpoint, knowing the correct information. So if I'm asking about my schedule for the day versus my wife, it should be able to know that, right? That I need Adam's schedule or I need his wife's schedule, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yes, we want this. These are things that we want.
All right, here's another thing that I would really like to have going along with this. So, Brian, I'm imagining the scenario where we have the HomePod and the HomePod Mini, which will be the Echo Dot-like device. The HomePod is in one room, and then I have the Minis scattered throughout the place. When I start talking, any of these devices, depending on where I am, will pick up and listen.
Right.
But it needs to be able to track me so that if I say, hey, S lady, set a 5-minute timer, and then I walk down the hall to another room, it's 5 minutes later, the HomePod that's closest to me should be the one that sets off.
I totally agree with that. And it's funny, as you were saying that, Adam, you mentioned before we started recording that you want like timers to be going out to all your devices. That actually seems crazy.
No. Meaning that if I set a timer, and that timer finishes, right? And this maybe goes to what Jeff's talking about in terms of proximity. If I'm not near my HomePod or a certain speaker that is going to alert me to that, it needs to be smart enough to know, oh, maybe I should tap his watch because he's not going to hear that this timer has finished. So that's the point. It's like, great, I set a timer on my HomePod, but if I leave the house now, I'm never going to hear that timer or alarm or alert.
You want it to follow you. I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be smart enough.
But that gets really complicated too, because what if you set a timer and you want your wife to be able to hear it because it's the kitchen while you're off doing an errand?
Oh, I've got that with sauce already.
Super complex.
Hey, this is what I was talking about. Where
set a 5-minute timer in the kitchen, and now you've locked the timer.
Does that work?
To a location. Oh, well, I think you can't.
Does that work on Alexa?
You can do. What's interesting is you can do that with HomePod speakers and AirPlay speakers for audio, for like playing music. You can do right now.
Yeah, and Brian, to answer your question about using an Echo in that way, you can assign specific rooms to an Echo. And you can issue commands for that specific room. I have not tried a timer, but we can right now.
But
hey, Alexa, set a 5-minute timer in the bedroom. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. I'll let you know where
in 5 minutes.
Yeah, in 5 minutes.
But getting back to sort of what Jeff was mentioning, I mean, I think we are getting pretty close to it being smart enough to be able to follow you around or detect location. And I seem to remember, I think it was more maps related, but didn't Apple buy a company that was specifically working on using like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and other signals to be able to triangulate like position to do like indoor mapping of spaces?
Yeah, that rings a bell. And I have no doubt that Apple's working on this stuff.
Right. So, I mean, presumably you should be able to get, if you can use that technology, you would imagine that could be applied to multiple speakers or multiple devices in a house. And then it knows proximity wise, which one you're closest to. And then that one's the one that's chosen to handle the request.
All right. I'm going to be the one to bring up the privacy concern. If companies are doing this where they can track you from room to room so that you have proximity for your smart speakers, at what point do people get worried about companies are tracking where I am in my house to learn more about me?
Right now?
Well, that's why
now is the point where I'm concerned about that.
This is why I want Apple doing this for us, because I trust Apple to stop that.
I mean, you have to imagine they can already do that in some ways if they wanted to, with things like your lights or your climate controls, or, you know, if you're turning on and off lights, that you can draw some conclusions that, well, if the lights are off in that half of the house and the lights are on in this half of the house, chances are you're hanging out in that half of the house, you know?
Sure. And if you have multiple Echoes and they have room names assigned to them.
Right.
And a specific Echo is picking up a command, there's a higher likelihood that's the room you're in.
I don't know. I mean, it's like all things. There's balance in the force. There's good and evil behind that, too. I mean, you can talk about using that proximity data to add context. I think John was talking about this earlier. Add context to any commands that you might be issuing, right? Mm-hmm. So presumably, if you're in the kitchen, there's certain context to setting timers or ordering things online, or that would be different than if you were in the living room watching a movie or something like that.
Yeah, that's true, too. So are we close to Brian's whole home listening dream?
No, we gotta have a cheap microphone.
Well, I mean, take
Apple's supposedly working on that, right?
Out of it.
And why? We'll just assume that's happening. I do that?
There are rumors of the $100 HomePod, right? The $99 HomePod. We already have those rumors is working on a less expensive HomePod.
So, Brian, the reason I'm saying take that part out of the mix is because that's the technology that we already have. Apple just needs to produce the device. I'm talking about the behind-the-scenes technology where it's getting the context.
That's
the further game, yeah. From having the hardware that can drive what Brian is talking about, I think we're pretty close. If not, you could make arguments that maybe we're already there.
Well, you can do it if you, depending on the size of your house. You could buy enough HomePods to cover it. But for most people, that's not going to be a desirable option.
Well, let's talk about microphones, though. I mean, what defines that microphone? Because everyone in my household carries an iPhone on them. Every iPhone has a microphone that's pocket. Pretty sensitive.
I want to talk to the air. I want to talk to the air.
What?
I want to be Captain Kirk in my home.
He has a communicator on him at all times that has a microphone. So how do we know that that's not the way the computer's getting that?
Because
audio.
We actually have an answer for that. For one, Kirk never pulled out his communicator to talk to the ship's computer unless he was down on the planet. Secondly,
then in a comm badge. Right? Comm badge.
Yeah, but you have to tap the comm badge to make it work. Right, and Picard didn't ever do that either. He talked to the air. They talked to the air.
All right, so talking I'm going to mess that air. One up for you, Brian.
Yeah.
If you watch, especially like episodes of Deep Space Nine, where someone on the ship or space station is calling another person,
yes,
they almost never tap their comm badge.
Yeah, because they're not talking to the ship.
Well, even person to person.
My point is why does it matter, Brian? If the microphone is always listening and it's on the thing in your pocket or on your wrist or wherever else.
I don't want to need to have it. I mean, and I don't feel like I'm being like, you know, oh, you poor little baby. You don't have to worry about having your iPhone. You know, that's definitely right. A first world problem. I want it to not be an issue. I want to be speaking to the air and not thinking about whether or not I have a device on me. That should never enter into the equation.
Right. But I totally agree with you. I understand what you're talking about. But back to Jeff's question is like, how close are we to having this experience, I think? And I think the experience could be created now with the technology that most people have either on their person or not. I understand you want to get further than that. But that side of things, I think, is super close to being done.
If there's a less expensive HomePod, whole home listening is achievable. Just and whole home listening is achievable now with Alexa and probably with Google Home too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And as soon as we get our less
$100 HomePod,
$100 one. I mean, it sure would be nice if it was even less than that. But
as soon as we get $50, it would be in line with the smaller units that Amazon and Google make.
Yeah, but like Brian said, do you want to have a decent speaker in there at the very least so it can?
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So $100 version, I will take it. It's better than the $300 version. I mean, and to be fair, because I went psycho and got two HomePods for my TV. Get a soundbar for the same money. Get a soundbar, or you know,
I already have one. I have a
soundbar with additional speakers. But the reason why, and you weren't on the show for when we talked about this, but the reason why I did that, Adam, is because I wanted to be able to keep a HomePod if I ever do get a soundbar. Keep a HomePod in my living room. Keep one on my desk, and then keep one in my bedroom. Yes. And that's perfect. I actually then have more or less whole home listening in my small duplex.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. But I'm totally with you.
The alarm that we set on my Echoes, mm-hmm. It played on the Echo where I issued the command, not the one where I told it I wanted it to go.
Oh, interesting.
So that gets us to that second half of that equation, Jeff, which is I think that, you know, figuring all this stuff out, that's the thing that's going to take another 3 years plus maybe to actually have it to the point where what I think you want, Brian, where it's just seamless and it works and it's intelligent, maybe even 5 years, maybe longer. I don't know. I mean, there's huge challenges there with multi people, multi voices. I think that the biggest deficiency with all smart speakers right now is just not taking in enough context. And I don't know if that's a processing power or if that's more on the programming side, the logic side, the AI side, the machine learning side. I don't know.
I think the answer
where that's
is
falling
yes.
down. Yeah.
Because it really, really, really is complex stuff, especially for Apple, who is not wanting to process everything on the server side.
Right. Yep.
Which is an even bigger
challenge.
Praise be, because that's the way I want it.
Well, and they're doing amazing things. I mean, the amount of if you really start to dive in, I think people don't understand how much machine learning they're already doing on our devices locally, and compared to, you know, the massive server machine learning that a lot of the other companies are doing, where they're just ingesting every bit of information and they have it all on their servers and they do it remotely. I mean, Apple's doing just leaps and bounds amazing things locally on the devices that mm-hmm. no one else is coming close to achieving.
Because no one else is trying. No one else is trying. Everybody else is like, you know, slurp it all up and sort through it on the server side.
Right. Well, again, because they have huge financial benefits from doing that
too. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Do. So, I mean, it's no coincidence that Apple is the only one doing this. It's no coincidence that Apple is doing as much as it is and no one else is.
Yeah.
That was my only rambling point.
But I think it's the technologies are evolving so rapidly. So, you know, I say 3 to 5 years, but I mean, again, with how quickly things are developing and expanding, and maybe there's another topic of conversation for a future show, right? Is how concerning is that too? Like, when do machines get too smart or understand context too well and all those things?
Yeah. We're kind of out of time, so we need to wrap up. But man, what a fun discussion. And I'm now feeling like my voice control system in my place isn't as adequate as I thought it was. So thanks for that, Brian.
You're welcome. Yeah. Happy to help.
Yeah. And thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, man. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
Yeah. This has been a great discussion. Adam, thank you for making the time to join us too.
Hey, thank you. This is fascinating. It's got really my mind racing at this point. So I'm going to be thinking about this stuff all day, I think.
Awesome. All right. And listeners, thank you for joining us. It's always great to have you here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.